Philippians 3.14159. How many know what that is? That's pi. We're going to be very close to Philippians 3.14159. We are in Philippians 3, and we will read today verses 7 to 16, though we won't cover all that ground. Verses 7 to 16. If you're visiting with us, we welcome you here. We're doing a verse-by-verse study through this great letter to the saints in Philippi, along with the elders and the deacons. This is for all believers. And at the same time, God speaks to all of you who are here. And so I hope that you'll pay close attention to what he says. If you haven't already, take your Bible and open with me to Philippians 3, beginning at verse 7. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let as many as are mature have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Our Lord Jesus was asked one time, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus answered with this, Matthew 22, verse 37. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Here in Philippians 3, Christ is speaking to us about the mind. The mind. Notice verse 15. Let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. Verse 16, end of the verse. Let us be of the same mind. Christ is here revealing to us the mind of a very mature man of God. All the terminology has to do with the way that he thinks, the way he sees things, the way that he values things. Notice in verse 7, what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. This is Paul's reckoning of things, his accounting of things, the way he thinks. Verse 8, yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. Verse 13, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. Paul here was revealing to the saints in Philippi with the elders and the deacons his mind. The way he looks at things, the way he looks at life, most specifically the way he looks at Christ, that's in verses 8 to 11, and the way that he looks at himself in Christ, that's verses 12 and following. Here we are given the mind of a mature man. What does it look like when a Christian is seeking to love the Lord Jesus with all his mind? That's what we're seeing here. The mind of Paul concerning Christ in relation to all other things, and the mind of Paul concerning himself. Paul, as you know, formerly counted as valuable religious credentials. Earlier in his life, Paul was living for attaining a position, attaining respect, gaining credence, advancing beyond his countrymen, taking steps up the spiritual ladder of success. That, at one time, was what was important to Paul. It's what he lived for. It's what he pursued until he met Jesus Christ. When Paul met Christ, there was a radical reorientation in his thinking, a radical shift in what and whom he valued. Here, 30 years later, having walked with Christ for 30 years, having served with Jesus for 30 years, having suffered for the cause of Christ for 30 years, he can say, "Now I count all things loss for the surpassing value, for the excellence of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord." This is what it looks like when a mature believer in Jesus Christ has his mind set rightly on what values the most, on what has the greatest value. Why would Jesus tell you about the mind of Paul? Verse 15. "Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind." Christ is showing us through the example and the words of Paul how he wants all believers in the church to think. How he wants us to value things in our lives. So this morning we basically want to answer this question: what are the marks of a mature Christian mind? And then why does that matter? What are the marks of a mature Christian mind, and why does that matter? First, here's the first mark of a mature Christian mind. You count all loss for the excellence of knowing Christ Jesus your Lord. That is the mark of a mature Christian mind. You count all loss for the excellence of knowing Christ Jesus your Lord. Look at verse 8. "Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord." Now we had already looked at verse 7 last time. Really in these first verses of chapter 3, Paul has been saying that there was a time when he had all the marks of what he thought was a man who's pleasing to God. He was circumcised the eighth day. He was the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. We talked about that previously. He had all the things that he thought would make him pleasing and acceptable to God. Religious credentials. This was his resume. That surely he thought, with all these credentials, he would be granted access into the heavenly kingdom of God. Many people think this way to this day. Many people who are religious, many people who are in the church, they believe that with all the things they have on their spiritual resume, surely they will enter into heaven when they die. Paul thought that way until he met Christ. And then, verse 7, he said, "What things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ." Paul's mind shifted from a focus on religious credentials to a focus on Jesus Christ. And in verse 8, he says, "Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus." It's interesting that in the original, something very unusual is visible. Five little conjunctions all in a row. I don't know of any other place it happens in the New Testament. It would be like saying this: "But in fact, also, then, even, now, I count also all things loss." Why is that important? Because this is something about which Paul is very passionate and very convinced. Paul is expressing his deepest conviction here. He is expressing his passion. "I now count all loss for the surpassing excellence of knowing Christ." But notice he says, "Yet indeed I also count all things loss." All what things? Should we take this universally? He counts friends lost. He counts his mother-in-law lost. He counts all the scriptures lost. He counts all churches lost. He counts all truths lost. He counts God the Father and God the Holy Spirit lost. He counts heaven lost. No. When Paul says all, usually there is a context which helps us understand what he's talking about. He's not talking about all things universally. All things should be taken contextually. He counts all things that ever might be, that ever were, that ever could be, a cause for boasting, a cause for confidence, anything that could be considered a credential. He counts all past, present, and future potential religious credentials or religious pursuits as loss. Things that gain you respect, things that gain you recognition, things that gain you a reputation among men. Those are the kinds of things that Paul is talking about. Today that might be things like yet another theological degree, yet another higher position for yourself, yet another any mark in your belt, so to speak, any other thing you think you might put on your religious resume. Paul said, I count all that as loss, things thrown overboard. Why? For the excellence, the surpassing value, the supreme value of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. The knowledge he's talking about here is not theoretical knowledge. It's personal, experiential knowledge. It's not book knowledge, it's life knowledge. We often say not a head knowledge, but a heart knowledge. Paul had come to meet personally the risen Lord Jesus Christ. And now for 30 years he has been growing day by day in his understanding of who Christ is, what he is like, what his power is like, what his glory is like. And 30 years of maturity in Christ causes him to say at this point, yet indeed I now also count all things loss for the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. That's the first mark of a mature Christian mind. What about you? Have you met Christ? Do you know him who is called the Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah? Do you know him who was and is the hope of Israel, who was and is the only hope for sinners? Do you know Jesus, the one who will save his people from their sins? Do you know him as Lord? Is he your Lord and Savior and King? And do you love him? Do you love him supremely? Can you say with Paul, I too count all loss for the excellence of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, for Christ's sake, Paul, he says in verse 8, had suffered the loss of all things. Literally it says, of all these things. He had suffered the loss of all his religious credentials and anything they might have gained him. He had lost his reputation. He had lost his position as a Pharisee. He had lost the blamelessness in the eyes of men that he once had according to the law. He had lost certainly many friends, many relationships. He went from being Palestine's most beloved to being Palestine's most wanted. He was now being pursued. They wanted to kill him. There was a time when they wanted to follow him and be like him. The second mark of a mature Christian mind is you count all that you have lost for Christ as rubbish. Your Bible might say as garbage, as refuse, as dung. Skubalon, you've probably heard that word before because so many preachers use it. It was used to describe trash. It was also used to describe manure. The idea is, Paul says, I count all the things that I've lost for the sake of Christ as something I have zero desire to go back to and try to regain for myself. This is the mark of a mature mind of Christ. Have you lost anything for the sake of Christ? Have you had to sacrifice anything for the sake of Christ? Have you suffered the loss, perhaps, of a close relationship? As I thought about this on my own and with Denise, we thought about relationships that once were very close that now are very distant. my roommate in college, who was my best friend at the time, was my great friend before I became a Christian. Then when I became a Christian, I started speaking to him about the Lord. And at first he was open to hearing and said things like, I really respect you and I think that's great. I think it's good that you found your way and so forth. But he really wanted nothing to do with it. Then we visited him just as friends and I shared the gospel with his wife. And his wife believed. That caused a strain in his marriage. And some years later I called him and he said he didn't want to see me anymore. I don't think I've seen him since. I have spoken to him since. But I don't think I've seen him since then. Now, I don't count him as rubbish or as garbage or as trash. But what this means is I would not go back and reverse the past and not tell him about Christ so that I might have the relationship back with him that I once had. That's what Paul's saying. And this is the mark of a mature Christian mind. You count the things that you have lost or the things that you've suffered loss of for Christ. You count those things rubbish. In other words, you would not go back and change things and not speak of Christ or not take a stand for Christ so that you could have those things you once valued back again. What have you lost for the sake of Christ? Maybe a promising career, maybe a high-paying job, maybe some position, maybe some friendships. Certainly, I hope that you have suffered the loss of this if you are a true Christian. You have suffered the loss of your former dead religion. I hope that if you are a Christian, you are no longer living false religion like Paul was. But that you have been converted to a relationship with Jesus Christ and you would never go back to your dead religion again. That's in essence what Paul is saying here. I have suffered completely the loss of everything that was my former manner of life. But he says, and yet I count it rubbish. The third mark of a Christian mind is in essence the summation of the first two. You count Jesus Christ, you count knowing Him more valuable than all else. You wouldn't take the Hope Diamond plus Xbox 360 and Wii ever over Christ. You count Christ as so supremely valuable that you count all else loss. You count Christ as supremely valuable. Paul states this in summary form at the beginning of verse 8, yet indeed I count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. If you want to understand what that means, look at all the phrases that follow in verses 8 to 11, and he describes it, he defines it, he explains that. Verses 8 to 11 are one sentence. One sentence. The heart of which is found at the beginning of verse 8, the explanation of which is found at the end of 8 and 9, 10, and 11. So what does it mean if you count Christ more valuable, more precious than all? This is just building out that third mark of a mature Christian mind. What does that mean? It means that you desire to gain Christ as your only credential, your only confidence, your only reward. Look at the end of verse 8. He says, I have suffered for Christ, I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. He said, I thought he had already gained Christ. Yes, he had. And yet at the same time, he says in verse 12, not that I have already attained or apprehended. There was a sense in which Paul felt, I have gained Christ, certainly for salvation, certainly he's my Lord, and yet there's something I look forward to in the future. I want to gain Christ fully as my only ultimate reward, as my only credential, as my only confidence, as my only hope, as my all in all. This is the mark of a mature Christian mind. You count Christ above all. In other words, you desire to gain more of Him, to know Him more fully, to gain Him as your only reward for all things. In other words, your life is about not pursuing religious credentials, but about pursuing Christ. Another way of looking at this, you desire to be found in Him with His righteousness. Look at verse 9. And be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. In this verse, we are taught that there are two kinds of righteousness. Your own and God's. Or your own and Christ's. Or imperfect and perfect. Two very different kinds of righteousness. And Paul's desire, his ultimate aim, was to be found in Christ, to be found on that day, the day of Christ, in the end, to be found in a close saving union with Christ, having not his own righteousness. That's what he says, not having self-righteousness. This is what he had once pursued. Again, this is what many pursued. It sadly, to my shame, is what I pursued for many years, thinking I was a Christian. I pursued my own righteousness. I have a Bible. I wear a suit. I am clean. I have a good job. I haven't killed anybody. I had self-righteousness. And I thought that ought to be good enough for God. I've even heard people say this. Hey, if I'm not good enough for God, then whatever. Right? Then I don't want anything to do with Him. If He can't take me the way I am. If I'm not good enough for God, then whatever. That's self-righteousness. Paul says, I want to be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, not that kind, which is from the law. From the law means, according to the law, there is a source of self-righteousness. You can do certain things according to either the law of Moses, or maybe according to your own law. And you can develop a certain level of self-esteem, self-righteousness. These days, right, we don't want to hurt anyone's self-esteem. Christ wants to obliterate it. So that you would not esteem yourself highly. So that you would not exalt yourself in your own mind. Sadly, we have sold a bill of goods to our young people, to our children, thinking that the ultimate be-all and end-all is that they have high self-esteem. We want to make them arrogant. No. God wants to make them humble. He's against the arrogant. Paul says, I want to be found in Him not having false, imperfect self-righteousness, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. This is the gospel. Here's the good news. That through believing in Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross, you can have perfect, eternal, permanent righteousness, the only kind that is acceptable to God. Do you know that God's standard for entrance into heaven is absolute perfect righteousness? It isn't be as good as you can be all you can be, and you'll get in. No, it's be ye therefore perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect, Matthew 5:48. That's the standard. It has never changed. The bad news is we all are sinners. There is none righteous, no, not one. The Lord hath looked down from heaven upon all the sons of men, Psalm 14, and has seen that they are all corrupt. They have all gone astray. They have all turned aside. There is none righteous, no, not one. But the good news is that God, in His grace, imputes righteousness to your account when you put your faith in Jesus Christ. Paul, by the grace of God, as he was headed to kill Christians on the road to Damascus, met the risen Christ. And it changed his life. Here, 30 years later, he's saying, I now count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Everything I lost, I now count as rubbish, as dung, something I would never go back and try to regain. Instead, I want to gain Christ as my only confidence. I want to be found on that day in Him having the perfect true righteousness that God grants as a gift through faith in Jesus Christ. Is that your mind? Is that the way you see it? Is that your ultimate aim? This is the mark of a mature Christian mind. You count Christ as more valuable than all else. What does that mean? It means you want to gain Christ as your only credential and your only reward. It means you want to be found in Him with true, perfect righteousness, the kind that comes by trusting in Him. It means you desire, above all, to know Him, to know the power of His resurrection, and even to share in His sufferings. by being conformed to his death, if that's how you must attain the resurrection from the dead. Look at what he says in verses 10 and 11. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Verse 10, that I may know him. This is Paul's desire. This is the desire of the mature Christian mind. I want to know Jesus. I want to know him more fully. How do you come to know him more fully? He says, and the power of his resurrection. This means that Paul wanted to know the power of Christ by living with him, by serving him, by working alongside him. That's how you see the power of Christ at work. When Paul went about preaching and teaching the gospel and seeing people's lives changed like his life had been changed, he was knowing the power of Christ's resurrection. He was seeing the power of Christ to take those who are spiritually dead and make them spiritually alive. Paul said, that's what I want to know. That's what I want to know by experience. This is not something you learn in the library. This is something you learn in life, in the workplace, out where you are living your Christian life and speaking openly about your love for him. This is the mature Christian mind. He says, that I may know him, verse 10, and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. What did Christ suffer? The list is long. Rejection, opposition, danger, derision, false accusation, disrespect, abuse, neglect, misrepresentation. Ever been misrepresented? Somebody twist your words, misrepresent you? Ever been maligned? Ever been disrespected? He suffered abandonment by those who were close to him. He suffered weakness, weariness, pain. Anybody ever suffer weakness, weariness, and pain? Paul wanted to share in those same kinds of sufferings. He wanted to experience what Christ had experienced. And he did, to a degree. This is the mature Christian mind. How do you come to know someone very closely? You go through their same sufferings with them. And he said, and to share in his sufferings, being conformed to his death. And I think it translates this way. By being conformed to his death, if that's how I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. If necessary, I would gladly be conformed to the same death as Christ. Let them crucify me on a cross if need be. That's how much I value Jesus Christ. This is the mature Christian mind. And it raises the question, what are your desires? What are your ultimate aims in life? Do you want to know Christ? Do you want to see and experience and know the power of his resurrection? Do you want to share in his sufferings? Fourth and finally, very briefly, because we'll come back to this text next week, fourth mark of a mature Christian mind, you don't count yourself as having already attained. You don't count yourself as already perfected. You don't count yourself as having already apprehended. That's what Paul says in verses 12 to 14. In other words, you know there's more to know of Christ. You know there's more growth for you to experience in Christ-likeness. And therefore, you press on. You press on. Why does this matter? Why does it matter? Why would Christ want us to have this mind, all of us together in the church? Let's remember the broader context. This is how you stand firm in the Lord. Remember that? Chapter 1, verse 27, and then again, chapter 4, verse 1, tell us that this whole section, chapters 2 and 3, is teaching us how it is we stand firm in our faith in the Lord. This is how we strive all together to spread the gospel. This is how we stand firm against those who oppose us. And this is how we have joy in the Lord. That's why it matters. When you value Christ above all, you experience confidence, you experience joy, you experience fruitfulness like never before. Paul was seeing that in his life, and he writes this for your progress and for your joy in the faith. So is this how you get saved? By having this kind of mind? No. The law is, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and none of us loves him perfectly like this. The gospel is that Jesus Christ did on our behalf. He loved the Father with all his heart, all his soul, all his mind, and all his strength, and was obedient all the way to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, if your trust is in him, let us count all things loss for the surpassing value of knowing Christ. Amen.